All right. So this morning, I'd like to talk about ships. In particular, two different kinds of ships. I'd like to talk about discipleship and citizenship. Now, both of these are good ships, but they are very different on a fundamental level. I mean, think about it. Citizenship is a state of being that's independent of your actions. When you become a citizen, there are rules that you are expected to follow. However, your citizenship does not depend on that. Just think about it. Here in America, we have citizens who have broken the law. They've been tried, convicted, proven to be rule breakers. So they are not behaving the way we want citizens to behave. But despite their actions, they may be locked away because there's consequences to them, but they are still citizens. So citizenship is independent of your actions. Discipleship, however, I think is different. I think discipleship depends entirely on your actions. It's like being a jogger. Imagine if I came to you and said, "I am a jogger." And you asked me, "Well, how often do you jog?" And I replied, "Oh, I don't jog. I'm just a jogger." Well, you'd think I'm crazy, because if you say you're a jogger, that implies that you jog. Because being a jogger means that you are a person that jogs. So it's completely dependent on your actions. I think the same is true about discipleship. You are a disciple if you do the actions of a disciple. Now, of those two ships, citizenship and discipleship, which are we called to be on as Christians? I think that should be an easy answer. Jesus called the 12 disciples, not the 12 citizens. Our own church mission statement has discipleship right in it. We are to make and mature disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. So disciples, right in there. So that is the ship we're called to be on. So what are the actions that determine discipleship? Well, a disciple is a follower of Christ. But that's a little vague. So fortunately, we have the Bible, and in it is a written account of those original disciples and what Jesus, how he interacted with them, what discipleship meant. So, thinking about the ministry of Jesus, I came up with three things that are in there. Of course, we know Jesus' ministry started by being baptized by John the Baptist. He then went out into the wilderness for 40 days of prayer and preparation, and then he began to call the disciples to him. Began to spend about 3 years with them, and I came up with three things that they did during that time, the actions of a disciple. There may be more, but that's the three I came up with. So the first one, probably the most obvious one, is they learned. Jesus was their rabbi, their teacher. So they learned from Jesus. But this wasn't a classroom setting kind of thing. They didn't show up Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday from 2 to 4 for a lecture that imparted all kinds of information. No, it was much more than that. They also lived with Jesus. They shared his life. They traveled with him. They ate with him. They got to see how Jesus acted and reacted in all the different kinds of situations that life throws at you. And through that, they formed a relationship with Jesus, and they got an example of what life should be like, of what life could be like. He gave them that example. So those first two things you hear about in church a lot, the learning, the living with Jesus, spending time with Jesus. But there's a third thing that I think is as important that those disciples did. They worked. Jesus gave them things to do. What kind of things? Well, that's in the Bible too. If you look in the 9th chapter of Luke, it says, when Jesus called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons, to cure disease, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom. Now, why would he do that? Now, remember, this isn't after they'd spent the 3 years and they were all done. This was kind of in the middle somewhere. It was sort of a work-study program. Why would he do that? I mean, the disciples, they certainly weren't perfect yet. Our series is about emotional, healthy spirituality, and these disciples, they weren't there yet. They still had some issues. Think about Peter. Peter, we know, had some kind of impulse control issues, and they weren't solved yet. This is before that night where he denied Jesus three times. And the scripture also says that he called the 12. So who would have been one of those 12? Judas. And we know he still had issues because we know what happens with him later on. So why would Jesus send them out? Their training's not done. He knows he's got a limited time to spend with them. Why didn't he keep them close? Spend all that time in training. Well, just speculating here, but I think it's because Jesus knew the importance of applying what you've learned. I mean, think about it. Why do teachers give homework? Well, some of them do it because they're mean, but most of them do it to reinforce the teaching, to give the students a chance to apply what they've learned, a chance to grow that way in a different dimension. So I think those are the three things: learning, increasing your understanding of living, spending time with Jesus and forming that relationship with him, and applying what you've learned. Those are the three things that I think define discipleship. But it didn't end there. This wasn't the end. The disciples didn't spend their 3 years and done. That was it. No, that was just a time of preparation. Jesus was getting them ready for something else. It's kind of like college. Now, I grew up with parents who were both teachers, and they impressed upon me early and often the value of a good education, especially college. They told me over and over again that college was super important. You got to go to college. And so when I got old enough and I applied and was accepted at college, oh, they were overjoyed. As proud of me as could be, they were just really happy. But imagine what would have happened if I would have just stayed there and taken class after class after class, year after year after year, and never did anything with it. I think that their enthusiasm would have probably waned, and they'd become a little less happy and probably wouldn't have supported me financially anymore. Because college isn't an end goal. College is a stepping stone, a way of preparing you for something greater. So what was Jesus preparing them for? That's in the Bible too. If you look into Matthew, the 28th chapter, this is a section that you're probably familiar with. It's Jesus' last instructions for his disciples. We call it the Great Commission. So it reads, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" So that was his instructions to them. They were to go into all the nations and make disciples. For 3 years, he had spent time with them, helping them grow and showing them what discipleship was about. And now they were supposed to go out and make more disciples. And those disciples would make more disciples. And those disciples, more disciples, and then more disciples, and more disciples. And by that plan, the church would grow and be continually renewing, always growing. And it worked. From just a handful of disciples in a remote section of the Roman Empire, it grew and grew until millions upon millions of Christians spread throughout the entire world. It worked. But lately, something seems to be going wrong, at least here in America, because the church doesn't seem to be growing anymore. In fact, it seems to be shrinking. So what went wrong? Well, I'm sure there's lots of factors that have contributed to this, but I think one of the big ones is that a lot of Christians are beginning to settle for citizenship instead of actively pursuing discipleship. And I can understand how that would happen, because citizenship is a lot easier than discipleship. Because, just for starters, it's easier to recruit a citizen than it is to make a disciple. If you want to make a disciple, you've got to invest part of your life in a person. You've got to develop a relationship with them. They've got to be able to see Jesus in you. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be perfect, but it means you have to be growing. I mean, think about if you were on a bowling league, and there was someone on that bowling league that started the season rolling gutter balls all the time. But as the season progressed, all of a sudden, they're starting to get a spare now and then. And then some strikes. And then pretty soon, they don't have any empty frames. And you ask them, hey, what's going on? How are you getting so good? And they said, well, I've got a new coach. Wouldn't you want to know that coach? I think so. So that's what it's like to show people Jesus in your life. It's not showing them that you're perfect, but it's showing them that you're growing. When they see your life being transformed, when they see that you're better able to handle problems, and you tell them, that's because of Jesus. When they see that your life has purpose and direction, and you tell them, that's because of Jesus. When they see hope and joy, forgiveness, grace, all these things beginning to grow in your life, and you tell them, that's because of Jesus, that's powerful. That's showing Jesus in your life. That's making a disciple. But that's a lot of work. Because you've got to have that relationship with the person, and you've got to be growing. So you've got to be learning, you've got to be spending time with Jesus, you've got to be applying what you've learned. That's hard. Jesus never said discipleship was easy. In fact, he warned his disciples it was going to be really hard. Now, on the other hand, citizenship is a lot easier. Because if I want to recruit a citizen, I don't have to have a relationship with the person. In fact, maybe it's better if I don't even know them that well, or they don't know me that well, because all I really need is a really good sales pitch. And we've got a really good sales pitch. We've got the ultimate carrot and stick approach. Heaven and hell. Who doesn't want to go to heaven? So when you tell somebody, hey, join my church, you get a ticket to heaven. I mean, oh yeah, we've got some rules. You're supposed to support the church with your prayers, presents, gifts, service, and witness. But you can have a pretty loose interpretation of that. Some of our members only come twice a year, and throw a 20 in the plate now and then, and we're not going to keep that close track of it. We're not going to kick you out. Once saved, always saved. Now, I do believe that, and that is important, but people who are recruited into a church that way, they don't have that relationship with someone. They're not seeing Jesus. They don't have the example, so they have no motivation to grow. So you let that build for a few generations, and you've got churches full of citizens who aren't growing, whose lives aren't being transformed. And when people from the outside look in, they see a group of people who get together whose lives aren't changing. They see a group of people who say they're following Jesus, but they're not going anywhere. And at that point, the church has lost its power. But the good news is, at any point, you can become a disciple. Discipleship is determined by your actions, so you start learning, you start spending time with Jesus, you start applying what you've learned, and you are a disciple. And suddenly, the church becomes powerful again. So this morning, I want to ask you, what are you? Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands or anything. Just answer that to yourself. Think about your life. Are you actively pursuing discipleship? Are you doing something to learn, to grow your understanding? Maybe taking a course, reading the Bible, having a time of devotion, discussing faith with other Christians? Are you doing something to learn? Are you spending time with Jesus? Of course, he's not a physical presence that you can go and spend time with these days, but you can spend time in prayer. You can spend time in worship. You can spend time with other people that you see Christ in. That's spending time with Jesus. And are you applying what you've learned? Are you serving in some capacity to proclaim the kingdom? Hopefully, you are all disciples. Or if not, hopefully, you'll be inspired to become one. And if you're a disciple, are you ready to accept that great commission? Are you ready to make disciples? Well, I'm going to help you out with that this morning because we have audience participation today. And in your bulletin, there is a little card. So everybody take your cards out. Find them. If you didn't get a bulletin or you can't find a card, you can take any sheet of paper. It doesn't really matter. Just so long as there's a place to write on it. So take these cards. And in a minute, we're going to pray. And as we pray, we're going to start with a time of silent prayer. And I want you to reflect on all the people that you know. So think about the ones that aren't disciples yet. Think about them and ask God to show the ones that He wants you to reach out to. And ask Him to show you how He wants you to reach out. Now, it's probably not going to be a matter of dazzling them with your knowledge of Scripture. It may be something as easy as inviting them to a potluck so that they can be surrounded by some other disciples. They can begin to see what discipleship is like in a group. I mean, who doesn't want to be in a group of people that love and support each other? So invite them to a potluck, a game night. We've got Advent coming up. This is probably the best time of the year to get people involved in the church. Because, yeah, there's Santa and all those other distractions, but people are thinking about Jesus too. So they're going to be a little bit more open to come into something we've got going on at the church. We're doing big things for the Christmas lighting ceremony here in Willoughby, so invite them to that. Invite them to one of the other things we've got going on. You'll see a whole bunch of opportunities coming up. So pray that God opens your eyes to those things, and then write the names of those people on this card. Take it home, put it somewhere where you remember it. If no names come from you today, still bring this card home, put it up somewhere, and as the names come to you, write them down. Because that's what empowers the church, when disciples make more disciples.